After almost 4 long years of losing much hair and turning grayer, I think I finally realized why I had such a hard time learning here at the seminary. You see, I was born and raised in a culture where much of the literature was written up and down. But all the materials I had to read here in the seminary was written left to the right, except the Hebrew, which was even more confusing. You see, as I read in Korean in those days, I understood and agreed to what I was reading. Yep, I understand. That's right. I agree. But here, everything I read, my body was saying, no, I don't understand. I don't agree. That's not right. Maybe this is just my excuse for having much difficulty in learning in the seminary. But be of a good courage, friends. If I can make it through by the grace of the Holy Spirit, grace of God and professors, I know you will all do well. It is indeed a great privilege for me to be here with you this morning. I hope and pray that we will receive the blessings God has in store for us, not because of what I'm going to share, but because that's what God wants to bless us with. So let us begin. As the U.S. Air Force's C-130 Hercules troop transport aircraft lowered its altitude to 1,000 feet above ground level and slowed to jump speed at 120 miles an hour, I think we have a little bit of a technical difficulty here. Okay, got it. I was watching this. Private Watkins intensely sat in his seat and waited for the jumpmaster's commands. He had his main parachute on his back and the reserve on his chest. It was just a routine jump of the Sicily drop zone in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Upon receiving the signal from the Air Force loadmaster, the jumpmaster stood at the rear of the aircraft and began giving his jump commands. 10 minutes! All jumpers are repeated. 10 minutes! All jump commands are repeated by the paratroopers to ensure that everyone heard the commands in the noisy aircraft. Get ready! Paratroopers begin unbuckling themselves. Outboard personnel, stand up! Jumpers sitting close to the skin of the aircraft stood up and turned to the rear of the aircraft, forming a single file facing the jumpmaster. Inboard personnel, stand up! Jumpers sitting in the aisle section followed the same procedures and lined up behind the outdoor personnel. Hook up! Jumpers began connecting yellow static lines to the steel anchor cable that ran from front to the rear of the aircraft above their heads. This static line connects the jumper's parachute to the aircraft's anchor line. Upon exit from the aircraft, the speed of the aircraft and the falling weight of the parachutist will allow the static line to pull the parachute pack open, pulling the parachute out of the pack and opening the parachute and eventually cut away so that the paratroopers can descend to the ground. Check static lines. Each paratrooper checked own static line connection to the cable and the jumper in front of him to make sure it is routed correctly and correctly. Check equipment. Each man checked his own parachute harnesses and reserve parachute on his chest and the main parachute of a jumper in the front. Sound off for equipment check. From the back, jumpers began slapping the back of the paratrooper in front, sounding off with a loud, okay. Finally, the last jumper, who was facing the jumpmaster, sounded off with a thumbs up, all okay, jumpmaster. The Air Force loadmaster opened the outside door, checked to make sure everything was safe and secure, turned to the jump master and said, "Army, your door." The jump master double-checked the door for safety, leaned out to check around the aircraft to ensure that there are no low-flying aircraft activity in the area, and the final approach to the drop zone. Being satisfied with the inspection, the jump master faced the jumpers and sounded off with, "1 minute," and gave a command to the first jumper in the line, "Stand in the door." The first jumper stepped forward, turned, and stood in the door, holding the door frame, 1 foot on the platform outside of the aircraft door, ready to push himself out. As the jump master watched the tiny light structure on the door exit door, it turned from red to green. The jump master hit the first jumper's back as he commanded, "Go!" Adrenaline pumping, paratroopers from the United States Army's 82nd Airborne Division began shuffling forward and rapidly disappearing through the open door, counting themselves as they fell, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. By the 4,000 count, which is 4 seconds, you should feel the parachute's opening shock. As Private Watkins leaped out, he began counting, 1,000, and then, bam! Instead of counting up to 4,000 and feeling the shock of the parachute opening, he was being slammed against the belly of the aircraft. Instead of being cut loose and parachuting down to the ground, he was still attached to the aircraft through the static line. Private Watkins became known as a toad jumper or a hung jumper, one of the worst case scenarios for any parachutist. He was still tied to the aircraft, and there was nothing he could do. The jump master's emergency action went into effect. Private Watkins needed to be cut loose. In light of the emergency situation Private Watkins was in and needing to be freed, we too can learn the lesson from the book of Mark, chapter 11, 1 through 10, the scripture reading we had. For the sake of time, I will just read the first 3 verses of Mark, chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, if you could follow along with me. I will be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Mark chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. "And as the day approached to Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you say, 'The Lord has a need of it,' and immediately he will send it back here." The scripture reading today is from the book of Mark, but this story is written in all 4 Gospels, perhaps signifying the importance. In it, we read a story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem a few days before his sacrifice for our redemption and salvation. For 3.5 years of public ministry, our Lord Jesus did much to relieve the pain and the sufferings of the people. As a matter of fact, he did so much more than what is recorded in the Bible that the Apostle John said, "If they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books which were written." John 21:25. I think of the widows and orphans that Jesus encouraged and befriended. I think of blind Bartimaeus and other blind people who Jesus restored sight to. I played blindfold games and trained in dark nights, but I do not really know what it is like to be blind day in and day out. I think of the deaf who could not hear, but Jesus restored their hearing. Today, we use all kinds of instruments to zone out the noises around us, but I wonder how happy those deaf who Jesus healed would be to hear all the noises that we hear. I think of the dumb who could not speak, but was freed by Jesus. I wonder how much he talked and sang afterward. Our professors would never be able to finish their prepared lectures if we had someone like him in the classes. I think of the paralytic who was lured to Jesus by his friend. Jesus forgave his sin and healed him. I wonder how far he walked and how fast he ran that day to just feel what it's like to be free from paralysis. I think of many lepers who were cured, not only cured from the dreaded disease, but restored to loved ones and to the communities. I wonder how proud they were of their beautiful, smooth skin. I think of Lazarus and others who were brought back to life from death. I wonder how they felt whenever they witnessed the sorrow of death around them. As Jesus traveled toward Jerusalem to fulfill his final act of redemption, they all came. I imagine them all coming to Jerusalem and rejoicing the freedom from all their maladies as they celebrate the Passover. But there was one thing missing. Jesus could not be the true Messiah until all the prophecies concerning the Messiah were fulfilled. 500 years before, the prophet Zechariah prophesied, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Zechariah 9:9. The colt was missing, but Jesus needed it. Without it, Jesus couldn't be the true Messiah. He must ride on it to fulfill the prophecy of the true Messiah. This colt was tied at someone's door outside in the street, according to Mark. Jesus told his disciples as he sent them for it, "Untie it and bring it here." When they went to do just that, the bystanders said, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They answered, "The Lord has need of it." They gave the disciples permission. Jesus now has a colt to ride on, one that was never ridden on, full of life. Jesus is riding this donkey to fulfill the prophecy of redemption and salvation for all mankind. As Jesus rode this donkey, people thronged the streets. Our beloved prophet Ellen White wrote following in her book, The Desire of Ages, "These were the glorious trophies of his labors of love for sinful man. There were the captives whom he had rescued from Satan's power, praising God for their deliverance. The blind whom he had restored to sight were leading the way. The dumb whose tongues he had loosed shouted the loudest hosannas. The cripples whom he had healed bounded with joy and were the most active in breaking the palm branches and waving them before the Savior. Widows and orphans were exalting the name of Jesus for his works of mercy to them. The lepers whom he had cleansed spread their untamed garments in his path and hailed him as the King of glory. Those whom his voice had awakened from the sleep of death were in the throng. Lazarus, whose body had been corruption in the grave, happened without, now rejoicing in the strength of a glorious manhood, led the beast on which the Savior rode." Desire of Ages 572. This great scene, this great event, could not have happened without a very simple animal, a colt. I don't think this colt had any idea what was going to happen that day. One statement from Jesus, "I have need of it," allowed this colt to be untied and to be used for one of the most glorious events in Jesus' life. I wonder if this colt had thoughts about the purposes of its life. I wonder if it worried who its master was. But Jesus said, "I have need of it." And in order for that colt to be used, It had to be untied, and I will use the term cut loose instead to make my point. When I first came to the seminary, I thought I was an okay guy. I was converted to Adventist in my 30s. By the way, thank you, Dr. Ortiz, for allowing me to come into the seminary. I remember that day I came to talk to you. I thought I didn't have a chance. But anyway, he encouraged me to apply. I was converted to Adventist in my 30s. I quit drinking, smoking, partying, and tried to live a decent life. Three of my daughters married Adventist pastors. I was liked by most people, not all people, I associate with. I even served as an elder in the church. But as I came and studied here and searching my own soul, I recognized that I was tied to so many spiritual diseases. I was tied to the spiritual blindness, a dumbness, a deafness. I was spiritualized, paralyzed, and was suffering with the spiritual leprosy. I needed to be cut loose. I wanted to be cut loose. I think you and I can be like that cult at times. We can be tied to this world, whatever the each individual case may be. But Jesus said, I have a need of thee. I believe that's why we are here. It is not by accident or chance that we have come here to be educated and trained in the seminary. We are here because Jesus said, I have need of thee. Now it is a time for us to be cut loose. We need to be cut loose so that Jesus can ride us. Jesus is sending us his disciples in the forms of professors, faculties, classmates, wives and husbands, children, and of course, the Holy Spirit. They are all saying, the Lord is in need of thee. To further illustrate my point, I would like to show you all a short video clip. I think we can stop that. This is a different scene from that of Prophet Watkins, and I don't know the fate of this parachutist. However, it does depict a similar emergency situation that Prophet Watkins was in. That told the jumper need to be cut loose from his emergency situation and quickly. As for the story of Prophet Watkins I began earlier, the jump master quickly assessed the situation of Prophet Watkins. Watkins was in tight body position with his hands covering his reserve parachutist ripcord, signifying that he is conscious and ready to be cut loose. The jump master quickly pulled out his buck knife attached to his belt and opened it, and without hesitation, he cut Prophet Watkins' static line. As he was falling, Prophet Watkins pulled out his reserve parachute ripcord. The reserve parachute popped out in front of him and opened as he fell. Prophet Watkins landed safely and continued to serve with the distinction for many years in the United States Army. Praise God. I have a question for each of us. Is our spiritual blindness tying us down so we don't even see the tears of our own spouse? Is our spiritual deafness tying us down so we don't hear the cries of our own children? Is our spiritual dumbness tying us down so we can't even say a word of encouragement to our classmates or our co-workers? Is our spiritual paralysis tying us down so we can't even help our neighbors in need? Is our spiritual leprosy tying us down so we can't even feel that our own souls are rotting from inside out? Then we need someone who can heal us, someone who can cut us loose from such spiritual diseases. Who is that someone? Do you know who that might be? Yes, his name is Jesus. Jesus can untie us. He came to cut us loose from the bondage of dreadful diseases. I want to ask again, are we tied to spiritual pride so that Jesus cannot use us? Is Jesus using us for his glory, or are we using Jesus' name for our own glory? Jesus said, I am in need of thee. Are we willing to answer his call of whom shall I send? Jesus needs 144,000 who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Are we willing to be one? Are we willing that Jesus will ride on us for his glorious second coming? Then, friends, we will need to look to the cross. It is his cross that heals us and cuts us loose from the dreadful diseases of sin. We will need his blood he shed on the cross. It is his blood that will free us and cut us loose from our stained robes. Friends, Jesus is our jump master. He commanded us to go, and if we are tied and needed to be cut loose, he has the buck knife called the cross of Calvary. Yeah. His knife is ever sharpened with his own blood and ready to cut us loose. Yeah. Fellow seminarians and friends, is it your desire to be cut loose from the spiritual maladies of this world? I sure want to be freed from them. Is it your desire to be cut loose so Jesus can use you? I sure desire that Jesus will use me and be honored and glorified as he returns. Would you let Jesus use you for his glory and honor this morning? If that is your desire, would you please stand with me as we rededicate our lives this morning for him? Please bow your head with me. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There is a power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? There is a wonderful power in the blood. Would you be free from passion and pride? There is a power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There is a wonderful power in the blood. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There is a power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There is a wonderful power in the blood. There is a power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is a power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Gracious Heavenly Father, here we stand before you with the desire to rededicate our lives to you and for your ministry. Cut us loose from anything that binds us so that we can be used for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen.